Broadcast, the English language broadcast podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And it's good to see you, David. Hello.
Yes, I'm all right. You may not hear from me again for a while, listener, because I will be away for the next month.
Where are you going, David?
I'm going to the UK to walk a very long distance. At least that's the plan.
Yes.
From North Wales to South Wales. So, hooray for that.
Yeah.
So, I'm sort of wondering about ways we can get a pod in 2 weeks after the two games, if I can somehow find the internet in Wales. I don't know if they have it but...
My thing about this, right, is that if we take a podcast with them, it's basically you just enabling the ability for me to speak after having...
Yeah.
I presumably will have been seeing none of the matches.
Well, you know, there's video, there's highlights.
Yes,
so,
that is true. Yes, that is true. We'll see how it goes, because, listener, you know, if you think I'm going to be, you know, do a podcast all by myself and be able to set things up and edit stuff, you are sorely mistaken and very much overestimating my abilities. A lot of the time, it's quite difficult for me to be a functioning human, let alone, you know...
I can vouch for that.
This sports journalist that you've, you know, grown to love over time.
Anyway, talking of sports journalisms, we're going to be doing a little bit of that because we've got two games to talk about, two previews, I assume.
Yes.
And we should probably do Scandal Watch.
Yes, a little.
As well.
Yes. which for once involves everyone except us.
Yeah. Do you want to start with Scandal Watch?
Let's do that, just to
let people know what's going on.
Whet the appetite.
Yes. Scandal Watch! Yes, it's the biggest Czech football corruption scandal since the last big Czech football corruption scandal.
Breaking news!
Yes, very good.
I like the biggest scandal since the last one, which was also reasonably big. This one seems bigger.
Yes. It involves... I have some names here, actually.
Is this where you go a bit sort of... What is it? Wacko's Map?
I wish, man, if I'd have thought of that, there would have been a lot more preparation to this section, I can tell you that.
Boy, if I had a crown for everyone that was implicated in this scandal, I would have 47 crowns.
Yeah,
I believe
a lot of crowns. Yeah. The clubs involved are from the first league Karvina, from our league Chudim and Opava, and then from the regional leagues, Zlínsko, not to be confused with Zlín, they're different things, Vratimov, Znojmo, and Start Brno.
Start Brno.
Yes. It seems to have hit, so far, Karvina hardest.
And some would argue, funniest.
Yes. Karvina are in this... have this interesting ownership structure, similar to Opava, actually, where the club is owned by the city, not by a single person necessarily. So technically, the CEO or whoever was the mayor of Karvina, mm-hmm. who was also like ostensibly head of the football club, and they went to arrest him and he'd done a bunk.
Yeah.
They found him 2 days later, mind. But yeah, he'd clearly seen what was coming and just run away.
And feigned surprise.
Yeah, exactly. So that was hilarious. Okay.
Did you see particularly Hrudim's statement about it?
I didn't, no.
It's answered absolutely nothing at all.
Okay, yeah. Opava fans already protesting. New ownership needed, obviously. That's their line of attack. And as you said, funnily, Karvina looked like they're going to be absolutely nobbled, points deductions, relegations, etc. And they are also hemorrhaging sponsors. Mm-hmm. Basically, everyone is, all the rats are leaving that particular sinking ship.
Yes. Is it fair to make a rats leaving Karvina joke?
Well,
I'll leave it.
There were, let's say, chickens leaving.
The chickens came home to roost.
Yes, exactly. So, that's all happening. One player that we well, don't know, not personally, but is involved is your friend of mine, Filip Štěpánek.
However, not involved at not any while time.
Not while he was here. No.
However, if you know, saw his first half against Varnsdorf back in the day, you could have fooled me.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
So have you seen some of the videos of the alleged cheating? Some of them are highly entertaining.
Yeah. One thing I will say is that a lot of the notable players involved, for example, Sebastian Pescher, Dennis Hollob, Jakub Tlusti, and Samuel Sigurd, are all very, very young. They've clearly, you know, been nobbled somehow to, you know, they're all sort of at 21, 22, 23.
I wonder if it's something quite similar to, and I could be remembering his name wrong, but do you remember the lad, is it Fierbacher? Who played, was banging them in for a while ago for Hrudim, a couple of seasons back.
Yeah.
But he was involved in a betting scandal, which I believe impacted, like, I think it was Motorlet or Admira Praha.
Okay.
Where there was like a bunch of former Slavia youth there. And of course, he was also a former Slavia youth. He got banned by the FHR for a couple of seasons and he went to like the Polish third division. Do you remember this guy?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's a bit like that. But especially in the case of Leishiga, who was supposed to go to Slavia.
Yes.
Like, that is possibly his career has just finished.
Yes, because he's... that was the kind of most high-profile one, because he was at Česká Budějovice, had got to move to Karviná, and basically it was all but agreed, and like, not officially, but it looked like he was going to get the big move to Slavia. And he was the first one who basically immediately had his playing license stripped from him. He's really... Yeah, he's in real trouble.
Yeah, and the one thing, and I don't know if you're going to mention this, I'm sorry if I'm stealing your thunder, but like what surprises, right, is that some of it is for not a lot of money at all, is it? So
no.
Like the one that stood out, obviously, because this Brojovka connection was 2023, I think it was, that the Opava paid to influence the referee in that match.
Mm.
And they paid him, and I believe the words that were used was at least 30,000 crowns. That's not much money.
30,000 crowns is no money at all.
I mean, I'll get you a holiday.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. Yeah. Curious. Curiouser and curiouser. Anyway, that's Scandal Watch, as much as we know of it. Shall we talk about some actual football going on?
Let's go for it.
It was the second instalment of the Battle for the Shtetl a couple of weeks ago. Zbrojovka versus Art is Brno. And it was kind of hilarious in a couple of ways. It was a sellout. The stadium was sold out, which made it, for my money, uncomfortably busy. I didn't enjoy it being that squashed together, honestly. Yeah, they just don't have the infrastructure to deal with that many people at the moment. So that was odd. What I will say, though, excellent TIFO from the home fans.
Yes.
Every single seat involved.
Yes.
Huge badge, sort of colourful stripes. And what was the slogan they had? It's weird. We're the 12th man, something you'll never have,
yes.
I think, which is quite good.
There were also, I believe, ones that also had references to a certain football club owner's wife as well.
Yes, and also Melodka, greater than logo, artist,
yes.
Which I very much enjoyed as well.
The whole thing was good. But I mean, let's have a shout out. We have to have a shout out, of course, to the TIFO that was done by the... what I'm led to believe, or what I'm told in the press, is a sold out artist Brno end.
Yes. I mean, it was certainly full. I don't know if you can call it sold out if you were giving tickets away for free.
We know this for a fact because Ben didn't get in time for the home end, and he contacted the club saying, "Where can I buy tickets for the artist sector?"
And they just sent him.
Free tickets.
Yeah, if you just ask, they were so desperate to get fans in, they were just giving tickets away to anyone who asked. Incredible.
The artist flag and banner, very much giving me the Arsenal TIFO vibe as well. Absolutely made by the club. Nobody actually, went out of their way as a supporter to spend money.
No, absolutely not.
Of course. And there were noticeable gaps in that end, but also that away sector was filled, I would say, at least 60% by members of like their under 15s and stuff like this. Because, you know, as we said before, Arches Borough do not have fans.
Mm-hmm.
What they do have, apparently, is a team that's going to get promoted. At least that's what they told me.
Really? Yes, I had heard tell of that. I've seen precious little evidence of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if when Carvina come down, there's a license for sale.
Yeah, that's the thing that worries me a little bit. Should we talk a little bit about the first half? A very even first half, I felt, with a noticeable momentum turn at the end.
Yes. A couple of chances for each side in the first half. It was that man, Adadiran, for Artis, with a couple of shots that were saved. And Rumarenko, for the boys in red, had a couple of chances. But, yeah, as you say, fairly cagey, pretty even first half.
Mm-hmm.
The turning point of the game, well, one of two, I would say. The very end of the first half, Radim Breiter gets sent off for the visitors for his second yellow card. It's an elbow on Martin Rumarenko.
And he's been crying about it. He was crying about that in the press as well, about how it was so unfair that you got sent off.
Oh, yeah? Well, don't go elbowing people in the centre of the park for no reason.
Well, this is it. Like, I mean, I'll be quite generous, right, and say that his first yellow is debatable.
Yes.
Kind of absolutely no complaints about the second one at all. And, you know, that's the one thing that the one thing that you noticed in the first half from a Zbrojovka perspective, right, is that we were trying to avoid playing through the middle at all costs, mm-hmm. to avoid that Breiter Pospisil centre, which, you know, at least on paper is very strong. So you are, you know, what you've done in that move. And also, let's be clear, you were fighting for a ball pretty much in the centre circle. This was not like, you know, jostling to try and get, you know, the edge, you know, in the box or something like that, where maybe, you know, you're trying to throw an arm for elevation and that's maybe understandable. It was such a nothing thing.
Yeah,
and you've taken away possibly like the entire, you know, solidity of your team in advance of 45 minutes of football.
Yeah.
Yeah, stupid for me.
Yeah, very daft. So the second half begins with us playing against 10 men, and the second, I would say, key moment was the introduction of Lukasz Forlicki.
Yes.
Who is making himself into the absolute go-to player. I mean, he has come in, hit the ground running, looks a class apart, you know, is a first league player, let's be honest. So it actually seemed like it might not come to pass in the end, as Velich, Janecki, Degran, and Forlicki himself had shots either saved, cleared off the line, hit the woodwork.
Yeah. I mean, it was just entirely that, you know, it was entirely one way traffic, you know, as well at that time.
Yes.
Like, there was, like, because obviously when you're losing a central midfielder, right, that's the one that you don't make changes for. So if you, like, you know, so it's very common. So, like, if you, you know, if let's say you get one of your centre-backs gets sent off, you probably bring on a centre-back or you move someone back from the midfield, you make these sorts of adjustments. You just play with one less in midfield if you're Artis. And it just showed, because they had very little drive. They didn't, you know, they needed someone on in the second half a lot earlier. Like, I think they put on Fomba in the just around the 75th minute mark. Fomba's a decent enough player. I think you should have him on for the second 45, but it was really, you know, sort of one-way traffic. But like you say, it was one of those, it felt like one of those days where we're just going to pour everything forward and keep going, and it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it did happen eventually.
Yes, it did.
thankfully, with 10 minutes to go, Forlicki it was who sort of managed to wind his way into the box and finished a lovely sort of placed shot in low into the far corner. That was, and once that had gone in, that was it. The icing on the cake was the 2-0. Martin Georgievski with a lovely glancing header,
which is good to have him on the score sheet. I should say, because I just remembered it now, and I think it is really important to say, that there was a real chance actually that this game could have ended 1-0 to Artis, because before that first goal there was one defensive mess up by Zbrojovka which let I think it was Adadiran actually one-on-one
and he sort of couldn't make up his mind.
And then he's just, yeah, and then the key to that is Hrdina stayed up.
Yes.
He stayed standing and made a good save with his legs. That was, I think, the crucial point of the second half that would be remiss not to mention,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. But yeah, a 2-0 win in the end, and yes, everybody
in the stadium went home happy, pretty much.
Yes, yeah, I would say so. Mm-hmm. So that was that. Then, yes, what should we do? Should we do hot or not as is regular, or do you want to just go straight on to Prostioff, seeing as you were there?
Let's do the games now, and let's do the hot or not after.
Okay. Yes, it was another sort of a derby the following Friday, which was away at Prostioff, and you went.
I did go because I, I did have a job.
Yes.
So I was able to leave at Tuesday at 1:45 in the afternoon to go up for the 5:00 kickoff. And I went on this Brojevci bus, which was a good thing for them to put on, actually.
Yep.
There was one bus in the end, actually, that ended up going. It's a decent amount of space. There's maybe about 100 people, I think, maybe give or take, went on the, 80 people, let's say, went on the bus, and then they had the other tickets for people because it was a sold out away sector,
yeah,
because
yeah.
There was a lot of interest in the match for obvious reasons.
Yes.
So it was good, and then the bus was straight from outside the ground, so it was kind of perfect. Because it's an Ultras bus, a 40-minute journey took about, close to 2 hours, because every single petrol station was an opportunity for a cigarette or, a toilet break or going and buying cans and so on. But it was all good fun.
Yeah. The game itself finished in a victory for Zborovka, but only just.
It was a pretty shy game, I'll be honest. For a 2-1, I thought it was a pretty shy game.
As it traditionally is.
One thing I want to say, two things I want to say. First of all, I thought the atmosphere from Zbrojovka supporters that day was incredible.
Mm.
Like, it was one of those ones where, and I don't mean to say this in a bad, and suggest that this happens all the time, but there was no, bad business, let's say. There was no sort of songs you shouldn't be singing or stuff you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And that was also, I think, helped a lot by the running of everything in the away sector at Prostioff, which was very much friendly, approachable. They put on an extra stand for beer as well, which helped tremendously, because you might remember our attempts to get a beer at Prostioff in the past, which is at times
yes.
taking even half an hour.
Yeah.
I was getting it in a matter of minutes, if not seconds.
Nice.
And they have done a nice job, I think, with the new stand as mm-hmm. well. It's not that new now, but it's new for me. And also, we should also mention as well that this was the debut for Markovic as well. He started.
Yeah, that was my first note, actually. First look at big Serbian centre-half Alex Markovic. He replaced Filip Vedral at the back. Another goalless first half, as you said, pretty shite.
I thought Prostioff were better than us in the first half. I thought we were a little bit sleepy, legs a little bit heavy. But when you have had 3-day turnaround between a quite a high intensity game, I will say, on Monday, that was maybe to be expected.
Yeah, we make the breakthrough first. That's why would call it the breakthrough,
yes.
I imagine.
And I wonder how that happened, because guess who got brought on at about the 50-minute mark?
Yes, Forlitsky appeared, replacing Rymarenko, and it's his ball into Degran that drew a handball from Prostioff's Shimon Palaszek. And that was 2 minutes after he came on.
Yeah.
And it's Forlitsky himself who steps up, takes the penalty, scores 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
And I thought we were going to kick on properly from there.
Yes, however.
We did not.
No, the inevitable Honza Kodelka sets up the equaliser for Daniel Heiss.
It's such a poor goal.
It is a poor goal.
It's such a poor goal to concede. It just goes straight across the box, and it's just, Heiss couldn't miss, right? He's a yard, 2 yards from the line. Yeah.
It felt uncomfortably like the goals we used to concede about a season and a half ago.
You could absolutely tell who's been following the club for a while, because there was a collective sort of fuck's sake from people that had been several times to Prostějov before. Yeah. So, yeah, because I thought, oh, well, you know, I'll never see a win at this stadium.
Yes. And it looked like it was not going to be a win until a 93rd minute Forlitsky free kick, which was actually a smart bit of creative thinking by him.
Yeah.
Depending on the angle from which you see the free kick, Prostějov's wall is really, really badly positioned.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to get it over the wall or assume they jump and put it through, Forlitsky's free kick is basically...
curls around it.
Yeah, curls it around. It's an absolute daisy cutter around the wall.
Yeah.
And in at the far post, evading basically everyone.
It just confuses people because this is at the other side of the stadium. And the one thing I will say about Prostějov's ground, and I think it is quite a nice ground, but the away section, it's one of those ones where it's just not really high enough.
Yeah.
And I was right at the back of the... I was at the back row of the stand. So I didn't really get a good angle on it. So what I thought happened was that he sort of drilled it low and someone got a tap onto it, which is... But like you say, it just missed absolutely everybody.
Yeah, it was a really smart piece of thinking and, like... not only to see it, but also having the technique to pull it off was a really nice finish.
In the 93rd minute.
In the 93rd yeah. minute, exactly.
And that shows you a player that has just got confidence through the roof. That is the fourth ? Game that Vorlitsky has played for Zbrojovka now.
And he's been the difference maker in every
and
single one
And he's been
of
brought
them,
on and he has yeah. made a difference every single... But not like a difference in terms of, oh, he said this and this and this or whatever. Like, he has... pretty, you know, he is responsible possibly for 6 out of 12 points
yeah.
just in his own,
yeah.
which is frankly just unheard of. This man needs to be signed at all costs
yes.
by Zbrojovka Brno. I believe that the issue will not be the player in that regard. The player wants to play for Brno.
Yes.
He is local. He is passionate about it.
Yeah, there was that thing, wasn't there, after the artist game, basically... somebody was looking at his socials and basically he'd like followed every like Zbrojovka fan account yeah. on Instagram. And he's yeah. like, yeah, this is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get yourself on Twitter. yeah. And we might not have him for the next game, of course.
Yes. He's done himself some sort of a mischief in a friendly
which wasn't really needed.
Yeah.
However, we've beaten Teplice twice now this season.
Yeah, which is kind of fun. So there we go. That was that. Two games, two wins, and happy days.
Yes, and we've set ourselves up beautifully for what I'm going to say now without jinxing it at all. It's going to be a triumphant march to the title.
Is it hot or is it not? That's what I want to know, Sam.
Yes.
Yes. It is
thanks,
hot or not.
Thanks, David. I am aware of this section of the show.
Show. It's a show.
Show. Man, great.
Yeah.
Again. sorry, I don't know what I'm doing there. I've got one, possibly two. One of each, but to start us.
Okay. I'll start with my hot because it's quite quick and it sort of went under the radar because it's a slightly odd story. My hot is Erling Haaland, but not for any footballing reason.
What's he done?
An incredibly rare book came up for sale. It's a 1594 history of medieval Norse kings.
Uh-huh.
So Haaland bought it. It cost the equivalent of about 100 grand.
Wow.
And donated it to the municipal library archive in Bryn, which is the town where he grew up in Norway.
Oh.
So that's kind of cool, isn't it?
It's quite nice, isn't it? Yeah. Kings.
Yeah. Norse kings.
Good for him.
Yeah. that was that. What
all
do you
right.
got?
okay, so my hot is my trip to Blansko.
Yay.
So I went to Blansko on Saturday. Ostensibly as a reason for me to not stay all weekend long at a weekend long hatta party.
Mm.
And it was good to see everyone again. And we had the full complement of the Blansko Klobasa there. So Ralph, Craggy and Wingy were all
nice.
All there. Had an opportunity to drink at that very nice pub, which is in the centre of Blansko, but beside that, you know, the secondary stadium.
It's a class little pub, yeah.
I think it's called something like Kala Guitar Pub or something like that. But it's very good. And they had a lovely kamenica. on. And I very much enjoyed the game as well, which even though I was running on about 3 hours sleep, because I was driven from this Hatter to Blansko, and then ended up going back to the Hatter by getting driven back there later on. So I saw Blansko 3, Karvina B 1, which was notable for a few things, actually.
Match fixing?
I thought the Karvina played actually a lot of the better football.
Right.
Just could not, because they have a horrible keeper. He's really bad.
Okay.
But also what I really much enjoyed seeing, and this might actually have to do with some of the rumblings around that club at the moment, is that there was a young team of Karvina fans there. I mean, all like sort of 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds, right, who had a drum and they waved their flags and they did all the usual things. And one of them, hilariously, had a balaclava. But they were all very well behaved.
Oh, good.
And they had like homemade cardboard signs being like Hoshi Gekuyem and stuff like this.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And who I thought was their leader, the boy playing on the drum, looked a little bit like the lad from the Melvins. With a hair.
Good.
And you got a nice pint there. It was a Richtaj pint.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of really good goals. And Blansko even scored directly from a corner.
Lovely.
So a lovely day out.
Yeah, good Saturday afternoon out.
Also, shout out to FK Blansko, who got me in free to the game as well. I didn't have to pay. Even though I'd have been more than happy to have paid money.
Okay.
A crowd of about 200.
Right. Why did you get him for free?
I don't know. They just didn't ask me for money.
Oh, okay.
Past.
Fair enough.
The boy on the door said hello and just didn't ask me for any money.
Okay.
So I don't know. But also what I kind of like about the Blansko Klobasa guys is the whole team comes to like shake your hand after the game.
Yeah.
So I got to meet Martin Ziekel.
Hooray. Oh, so, dear. Yeah, good.
Good day out.
I've got what I initially wrote down as a knot, but I'm coming around to thinking it's so weird, it's sort of quite cool.
Okay.
It's the FIFA series.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I had not heard of this. It's another one of Infantino's everyone needs football crammed down their throat all day, every day, forever schemes. Apparently, the first edition was in 2024. We all remember that tournament, don't we?
Yes.
The 2024 FIFA series.
I know. I'm on board with. I know what we're talking about now. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a tournament. Well, it's not a competitive tournament. Technically, every game is a friendly. It started last Wednesday.
Some of the shiter of the nations, I believe.
Yeah, and it runs to, as we record this, tomorrow is the last day of it. But because it's an international break and nations are allowed a maximum of two games in that break, it's basically groups of four. So it's A versus B, C versus D, and then like a final and a, you know, kind of losers playoff for third place. However, what's mad about it is, as you say, it's the, you know, the shiter of the nations. But the incredible thing is where they're playing and who they're playing. I mean, it is absolutely wild. Like, it's nine pools of four teams playing in eight countries. Rwanda is hosting two groups because, of course, it is. You could have gone to, for example, Bulgaria versus the Solomon Islands in Jakarta.
Yes.
You could have seen Namibia versus Comoros in Astana. Finland versus Cap Verde in Auckland. Or Venezuela versus Trinidad in Tashkent. Or Tanzania versus Liechtenstein in Kigali.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild.
The idea of the Kigali being a city for it, and there's two African teams, and instead of putting them there, going, nah, go put them in Astana.
Yeah.
This says a lot about the organisation of FIFA, doesn't
it? I mean, absolutely spectacular.
What a day out if you're from the Czechs, notes Comoros, though. So,
I think it was them. There was an example I saw where basically their game against Bulgaria, I think it was, Comoros' national stadium holds under 1,000 people.
Yeah. Oh, because Comoros is tiny.
Yeah. So they were playing in this Jakarta, like a 70,000 seat arena in Jakarta with no people in it, because nobody in Indonesia gives a shit about Comoros versus Bulgaria Thursday afternoon.
Aberdeen's Dimitar Mitov on the bench.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was my initially a not, but now I think it's sort of so weird, it's sort of quite cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want a not?
Petr Pavel's half and half scarf.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes. Do you want to...
Petr Pavel was wearing a half and half scarf. That was it.
Do you want to explain who that is? And
what the president of the Czech Republic. Yes, it was for the Ireland Czech Republic.
People might not know. People in other countries might not know who Petr Pavel is.
They should.
Yes.
So our thicker listeners, for the benefit of our thicker listeners, our listeners that don't keep up with current events... Yeah, so there was a match, Ireland, I have to say, completely fucked it up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just not a good Czech team.
No.
You were 2-0 up.
Yeah.
So, absolute crazy, crazy scene. So maybe it was in solidarity with that, or maybe this FA Czech Hour thing has, not gone as far as maybe it should have, but... Yes, Czechs are through to lose in their next in the playoff final.
Yes, they've got Denmark, haven't they?
They are not going
to beat Denmark. No, they're just not a World Cup team. They never go to World Cups, and that's fine.
Into one, I think, 2006.
Yeah, they are the most Euros nation in the entire world.
Yeah,
whole of Europe.
Like being a Euros nation to me comes across as quite sexy. It's quite Euro trash. It's quite, Vorsprung durch Technik. I quite like that.
Yeah, exactly. You're not, whoring yourself to the Yanks for this one. Yeah. Unlike Scotland.
Yeah.
Really?
what can I say except is what I will always say in these things, which is, get it right up Wales.
Yeah.
If you think I'm still petty about that there's always 2028 lads, a tweet from that Welsh away account when they saw the Scotland group or whatever, I am.
Good, yeah. What should we do next? Do you want to do a preview?
Sure, would you like a preview?
Yes, I would like a preview.
Rudy can't fail. A message to you, Rudy. Rude van Nistelrooy.
It's Rudy.
Saturday afternoon.
Yes, we are playing Corruption Scandals MFK Hrudim.
Yes, on a Saturday afternoon, which is feeling like a bit of a rarity these days. I'll be there, you won't be there.
No, I won't be there.
You'll be walking somewhere, as we've established.
On Saturday, I will probably be quite hungover because Mark and I will be in Coventry Friday night for Coventry versus Derby County.
Of course.
We have tickets for that. So yes. I will probably be on a train somewhere on Saturday afternoon.
I'll be in the ground having fun. Okay, so Hrudim, they come into this a lot better form than they have been, I will say. So they've had back-to-back wins against, as I'm bound to say, fellow strugglers, Jihlava and Bannock B. So now they're up to 12th. So that's their first win since early October, and I think that says
a lot about
how things are going. That means that they're 4 points clear of the dreaded relegation spots, but look, there's still a long way to go. I don't think I would be that surprised to see them go down, especially as we've established stuff has gone on in the background. It's a little bit of a change, I suppose, because in recent seasons, I would categorise Hrudim as being a relatively decent side. They've been at the top end of the table.
Yeah.
I think fair to say that since they've had to move out of that stadium, at least temporarily, and they're now playing in Pardubice's ground... crowds have suffered. A lot of that I don't think is necessarily their fault. I think it's down to poor organisation in the league. So if you're having a team play 15, it's only 15, 20 miles away, right?
But it's not far.
Don't put that on at 10:30 in the morning. Like, let people have a chance. No one outside of Hrudim supports Hrudim.
No.
Right? So they have to go, go across. So 10:30 in the morning is, beyond me. The official crowd at their last home game was 320, and that tells its own story, right? you may recall that, you know, when we did our away game there, all the way back in August,
yeah.
1-0 win, thanks to a lovely Benny Kanakamana goal, where he picked up the ball from the halfway line and just kept running.
Yeah, it was his first goal for the team, wasn't it? Yeah,
yeah.
And a lovely one it was.
Rounded the keeper, empty net, lovely stuff. And that's that stopped a poor run of form that we've had against the East Bohemians. Yeah. We were no wins in three before that.
Just a little side note, he scored in midweek, Benny, for
Burundi.
Against Chad. Yes.
Yeah,
so well done.
Yeah, good stuff. That was also by some distance Hridim's biggest home gate of the season. 1,115.
A lot of that, but no fans.
I believe it was, because I think it was a Friday night or something like that. It was a Friday night or a Saturday. I can't remember.
It was during the day, so it would have been a Saturday, I think.
Sure. So, you know, as we always say with Hridim and clubs of their size, a lot of transfer activity is based heavily on the loan market. And they are a team where any player that demonstrates even the slightest bit of potential will be snapped up by other teams. So, that, you know, this is why, you know, losing David Latal to Banik Ostrava was a, you know, a big blow. Actually, the experienced Daniel Rzeźniczek, he left a few days after our first game against them.
Right.
As well, because he joined Pardubice in September. Their winter activity, they've signed 12 players and 8 of them are loans.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's one of those ones. No one's really cares about that, so I'll run through some things a little bit quickly here. A year-long loan of Latvian centre-back Oskars Vinties from Liepāja, who are generally a mid-table side in the Versliga in Latvia. So
okay, I trust you.
Yes. The other one that was quite interesting is there's a right-back called Glib Sabchuk from FC Epicenter in Ukraine, who are enjoying their first season in the top flight there.
Glib Sabchuk.
Glib Sabchuk.
Yes.
Oh, that's a remarkably Glib Sabchuk taste.
Yeah, it really is. So from what, FC?
FC Epicenter, which feels a bit close to the bone at the, you know, at this time. But yeah, to maybe get things back on track, a player that you'll be a lot more familiar with as well as our listeners, Martin Rolinek.
Oh, yes.
A youth player for us, of course, way back when, but better remembered for being in Lišeň. Had his move to Mladá Boleslav. That was his big move.
That's right, yeah.
Didn't really work out. So we sort of bounced between like Prostějov and Kromě Rýž for a time. And then he, you know, before arriving back at, you know, now Artis, still contracted to them, but unlikely I think we'll ever see him playing for them ever again. Also, we have our two token. Is there a money laundering scheme going on?
Yes.
So, yeah.
it's Hridim.
So I will let yet again, listeners, ask for your help if you know anything about Senegalese midfielder Babacar Diack and Ivorian defender Adama Fondiou, who have been signed from their local side and have no information on the internet.
Okay, good. Lovely.
Analysis for this game, David. Very simple, right?
Yes.
We turn up, we win.
Right, yes.
So, like, I think, right, to maybe a bit more serious, Patrick Schoen, they have a loan from Příbram since summer. He is finding a bit of form. He scored in his last two. Dennis Kalfus had a bit of a run around autumn. He's popped up with an assist recently too. He's quite dangerous. Both players on the right side of the park.
Right.
So I would expect that they'll do a lot of stuff down that side. So it's all about keeping it tight there. We did point out that Kalfus could be a little bit of a problem, you know, when he signed, you know, last time as well. So we are sticking to our guns a little bit there. But I don't see this as being a significant challenge as compared to Opava, you know, the week after, which is also, let's be real, a more interesting game to talk about. But look, it's one of those ones you'd be frustrated to drop points to it. But ultimately, the good work that's happened at the club over the last month means that really, if anything happens in this game, it will change absolutely nothing at all. So, you know, but we'd still like to go there and, you know, win.
Yes, absolutely.
Go there. Go to our stadium. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, there being the northern part of Brno.
So those are my thoughts on Hridim.
Good. Excellent. Shall we have a quick Beer of the Podcast break? And then we can do... it is Opava away.
It is Opava. Yes.
So, okay, quick Beer of the Podcast and then Opava. So, a beer, a brand new beer
of the podcast.
That was my little Sound of Music tribute. I hope you enjoyed that.
I did.
Good.
Hey, well, David, it's me. Hey. A name I call myself. And I've been tasked with this episode's Beer of the Podcast. I want to say something immediately, which means that we will not do it.
Right.
I went to the good doctor.
Yes.
At Pivne Ordinatse, who at first recommended me a currywurst beer.
Oh, good lord.
And it was 180 crowns, and I said I'd think about it. I will not think about it. I don't want to have that beer.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's fair. Even though currywurst is one of my favourite things in the world, I don't want it in my beer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, can you blame me when I saw what was next to it? We're going back to our good friends in Pilsen at Raven Brewery.
Right.
Who have come up with a lemon cheesecake sour.
Lemon cheesecake sour.
Which I'm told tastes a little bit more like a lemon ice cream. Fine by me.
Yeah.
And yeah, so this will be a nice sort of, you know, what you'd consider a pastry sour, I suppose. A good whack on it, I will say, at 6% ABV. Mm. So yeah,
you can smell it from here though. Like, you know, it's sitting on my coffee table, and I can get a little bit of the smell already of it. So that's good.
Get your laughing gear around that, eh?
Yeah, right. What does it? It smells like. Yeah, it smells tart.
It does smell quite tart. Like, I mean, I won't go into the details of my weekend, but my nose isn't properly functioning. So well. But yeah, I can definitely get something out of it.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go.
Solange.
It's very sharp.
It's sharp.
It's very sharp. It's nice. I like it.
I don't get much cheesecake.
No. It's all lemon.
Do you know what, Edward? It honestly, the way it drinks, it's one of those ones you feel the alcohol, I think, right?
A little bit,
I feel
the alcohol.
It's playing to me like a cider. Almost. I mean, if you told me that's a cider...
Yeah, it's
I believe too, you.
It's too, for me, it's too sharp even to be a cider. It's actually, it's almost a little bit too sour.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, you know, Homer eating that sour ball face.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think after you get past the first go of it, it becomes sort of less sour. I don't get much of the cheesecake notes, but I'm not the best one to judge on
that
at the
moment. There is absolutely no cheesecake involved at all.
Yeah,
but, yeah. It's just sharp and lemony.
Because if you had
really.
The back end of it being a little bit creamy, a little bit sort of biscuity,
yeah,
it would have been. I think it would have improved. I mean, by all means, not a terrible beer.
No, it's just not quite what I expected.
I mean, it's playing to me maybe a 6.5, you know, out of 10.
Yeah, it's yeah. If someone bought me one, I'd absolutely as has happened, I will absolutely drink it. But it's not necessarily something I'd
rush
go
for.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's that. I will continue to sit here and drink this as we do a little bit of Old Pava.
It's been so long. Right, no disrespect to Hrudim, but this is the game that's actually interesting.
It is, yeah. This is the kind of big one for the rest of the season, isn't it, really?
I would say this is our last big game of the season.
Yeah.
After Artisbrunner's less than stellar start to 2026, Opava have taken the reins and have been in a rich run of form. Now in third place and in the final playoff spot, with a 3-point cushion over our noisy neighbours and only 1 point behind Tabor in second.
I wouldn't say noisy.
Well, he is. Five matches back into the league now, so 3 wins, 1 draw and a surprise loss, which is only their second defeat of the season. This is arguably the last truly tough match Brough can have to face. And this is underpinned, I would say, by the 0-0 that we played out at the end of October. which was truly a case of cancelling each other out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Opava, I think they've got a really good attacking line. You've got El Hajin Dai, who's a loanee from Zlin, who's been really good. I quite like the guy from Cape Verde. They have Papalele, who's really good on the wing. He gets a bunch of assists from there. Helps himself to a sort of a handful of goals. He's been there for, what, 3 years, I think, at this point now, Papalele. You know, you've got Yiri Janoschin.
Yes.
5 years he's been at Opava now. Time does fly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So he's still a very competent player.
That's really unusual at Czech second division level to be at somewhere for that long.
Unless you're really down there. Unless you're like Kodelka at Prostějov, for example, or something like that.
Yeah, where you basically live at the stadium or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Or opposite it in those flats there. Yeah. However, let's talk about mitigating factors, David, because when Artis poach your manager in 24 hours, what the hell's going to happen?
Yeah, that I'd completely forgotten that happened. Artis have, replaced our manager by nicking off of us and appointing Yihlov as manager as his assistant.
Yes.
Which is, a ridiculous state of affairs.
Now, I want to point out as well that friend of the podcast, Pavel, immediately as the full-time whistle blew in Artis's 3-1 home loss to Ústí nad Labem, he said, Heathery's gone.
Right, yes.
So he called it and he said, probably he'll get up of his manager.
Yeah. So Pavel proving more Heathery than the...
Yes.
Than the guy in charge there.
Absolutely. The thing is about Roman Nadvornik, because he was also there for a wee bit, Opava, and look, everything about his team looks pretty good right now.
Mm.
Opava, I think, could cause problems for a team that's in a playoff or whatever. So I could only suggest that he has been given money beyond his wildest dreams to go to Artis. Like, they are just spending so much money. And it would have been one of those that I'm a fool to say no, and possibly, you know, I mean, arguably, and I'm not even saying this as a sort of a joke or to try to overemphasize things, the amount of money that's getting brandished around at Artis at the moment, because Igor Fight cannot stand losing and he cannot be in a losing position, arguably this sets up, Nadvornik and his family for life, possibly, you know? So
it's also one of those that, like, it's sort of on a much smaller scale, it's kind of a Chelsea situation in which they're very trigger happy with managers, but you'll get paid off and you'll get like 5 years worth of cash. So
this is
this
is it. So look, and I mean, yeah, because Opava are a better team than Artis, they're a lot more stable than Artis, they're a lot more sustainable than Artis. And they have supporters and they have a club identity. So there's no reason you leave for a Fight project unless you are, and I mean, we're possibly talking north of $1 million a month, you know, for his services here. And, you know, what will be really interesting to keep an eye on over the weekend is that, you know, Opava's, next game out. What I will say is a gradually improving Vlašim side. They looked, they were better than their table position, in our match them. They were a lot better in the table position. So a couple of wins now, Vlašim as well, looking, you know, like a bit about, you know, like their old selves, who are, again, for this level, not a terrible, you know, team by any stretch. So, you know, that'll, you know, that we'll have to answer some sort of questions like that. What we'll also have to see is how much of this betting implication scandal and calls, you know, by supporters for change or whatever is going to affect them at a time when, at least on the field, they look quite, you know, good and
that will be interesting if they get the automatic place or win the playoff. What the result will be of that. Because, we don't know when, formal decisions are going to be made about what happens to the teams involved in this. So, everything is a little bit up in the air. And that also seems for Nadvornik like a really convenient time to move a week before all this has come out.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So he's maybe, that's...
He jumped at, you know... Probably didn't know it, but at exactly the right time.
A good bit of foresight. Look, I mean, like I say, look, they play well, they look good. because of that, right, and with the way that money, you know, going right now in most teams in the second league, not so much movement in the market, you know, over the last couple of months, winter, not really any significant departures, but not a sort of, you know, not an overhaul by bringing in loads of players either. I mean, it's been a couple. What's always interesting about that as well, and this adds an extra layer to things, is how that uncertainty works with new recruits. Because obviously, like, I don't believe Opava have like a director of football model. I could be wrong. Well, but yeah. But you know, how much of that, you know, changes, but you know, when you've got a player that's come in, he's had maybe 3 weeks at the club or what have you, and now the manager that signed is gone.
Yeah.
You go, well, where do I fit in? Will I be able to break through? Will I be able to do this? So you get all these, you know, they can mess up a player sometimes. So obviously what they've, you know, they've brought in is, and we know about this, match fixing's very own Filip Štěpánek.
Yes.
Who's coming in. I'm not convinced why he's gone there, because he's not very good.
Yeah.
I don't think. And I don't know what they've seen in him, but there we go. You also have Dennis Darmovsal, who we've talked about before, mostly an advanced midfielder, comes in permanently from Pardubice. He had a average loan, I would say, at Hrudim before this.
Right.
Maybe the most interesting thing that they've done is that they brought in a guy called Mehdi Bukasi from Botevratsa in Bulgaria.
Sure.
He's 29, a journeyman player, as you can tell, right? He showed promise as a youth with Charleroi and Roda JC development teams.
Okay.
But he's also played for the legendary Roja Casablanca of Morocco.
Wow.
So he's, I looked through his career, 29, he's got about, honestly, there's about 8 to 10 clubs to his name.
Right.
There for a year. Goes off or whatever. So we'll see how he does, but it sounds good anyway. So they've gone big onto the old midfielders and stuff like this. He was maybe cheap, who knows. I believe Botevratsa are the top flight of Bulgarian.
I don't know, but
we'll see. It'll be an interesting one. It could be a tight game. One thing I will say is that Zbrovka are turning in very much into a second half team at the moment,
where
we are not really impressing in the first half, or we're slow starters, but then we're able to sort of like get the revs up, particularly once a certain player comes on.
Yes.
So the possibility of not having him for a match or maybe even two is interesting to see. I'm not so worried, you know. You don't look at these and go, I'm worried anymore, because we have that, you know, such good cushion. But hopefully it'll be good games.
Yeah. As you said, I think Hrudim, if that's not 3 points, I will eat my hat. And Opava, even if we lose, it's not that bad, but I think, you know, a point, I'll be absolutely happy with a point.
Yeah,
it's fine.
We'll see. Like, the only thing I'm sort of annoyed about a little bit is just the timing of this, because I think it's on a Saturday as well, the Opava game, and I will just be on that day returning from London. So yeah. I won't be able to make that, and I've never got to Opava City.
No, yeah,
so,
nor have I, actually.
We wanted to before, and then it got snowed off.
Yes.
And some people didn't get that message. But that's for another time. I think that's about it.
Yes, I think that's about it. If you don't hear from us in 2 weeks' time, I've explained why, but we will be back at least when I'm back.
And I will still be putting the activities up on Zbrojovka's Twitter, because I will at least still be going to all the home games. I am, you know, despite, you know, this trip I'm having, I'm starting a new job as well, which means I won't really be going anywhere for a while, so I'll be here for all the games.
Yeah. So for the time being, listener, thank you very much for listening, I suppose. And we'll speak to you when we speak to you.
Bye.
Dobré jitro, říkám dobré ráno, hezké probuzení, dobrý den, ať má každý dneska oči psáno, něžné sluchu letním paprskem, dobré jitro, štíty domů a kvátky chodníků, dobré ráno, vůni stromů, ono se nás tévá trávníků, tak dobré jitro nám vyří a všechny zvony vyběží, dobrý den všem. Okny do kořán, řeknu úsměvem. se omluvil, a pak odjel dál. Lásku, kterou sním.